Thank you, honorable members, and all our participants today, and thank you for the opportunity to meet with yourselves this morning to present our APP. We, as I have said, I am chair of the interim board. We have been at BRASA for just under 18 months now, having first been appointed for a year in March, April of 2018. And then extended for 6 months, which will end imminently. I'm just going to give a few opening remarks and then hand over to the acting CEO to lead us in the presentation. And my remarks are just meant to paint a context of where BRASA is today. Over the past 7 years, BRASA has generally achieved just a little over a third on average of all its KPIs. Basically, what that means is that we are only delivering a third of what we are supposed to be doing, and this has been over the past 7 years of BRASA. Key to those being the modernization of infrastructure, as we know that a modernization program was launched that will take BRASA into an era where it is providing safe, reliable transport to its commuters. And that program is behind by 3 years. As we present, we will go into where we are now, where we have, where War Room has been launched, and what some of the quick wins have been just in terms of starting to kickstart that program, but it is a fact that BRASA is behind by 3 years in terms of rolling out its modernization. The operational performance and service delivery has been at an all-time low and clearly resulting in a decline in patronage because when people don't get a reliable service and they don't know whether the train will leave on time, they then move on to other modes of transport. And this manifests itself is in that in the 2010 period, BRASA had over 600 million passengers recorded in that year. And where we are now in the 2018 financial year is that we have 209 million passenger trips recorded. So once again, it has dropped by three times what it would have been in 2010. What this results in is that BRASA is not generating adequate revenue from its own operations, which then results in a huge funding gap that impacts negatively on the day-to-day cash flow position of the group as a whole. The rate of capital spending, which is meant to implement the modernization program, is not on track, which means that, in fact, the programs you are supposed to implement that will ensure that the infrastructure is ready, the trains are ready, and you can pick up on passenger numbers is also not happening at a quick enough rate or even at the rate that it should just be happening normally. You probably have read concerns about safety at BRASA, and with the RSR being the regulator, raising serious concerns about BRASA's tour performance and compliance with its own safety operating procedures. When we go through the presentation, we will go into more detail as to what those concerns have been and what we as a board has done to ensure that we comply and move actually beyond compliance to implement a culture of safety where everybody at BRASA who works there recognizes that they are a safety ambassador and should behave as such. When you analyze the safety performance of BRASA over a five-year period, this just confirms that occurrences have increased on a year-to-year basis. So there is no progress in that sense. There have been a number of accidents, of train accidents, which we probably have all read about as a public. Some of the cases have been fatal, and that is a major concern to ourselves that also impacts on performance. There are obviously interventions that have been put into place, and the APP will go into some detail on those interventions. I will highlight some of the interventions, one of them, or the key one, being the recovery of the Metro Rail service recovery. With nearly half the fleet out of service due to maintenance or due to vandalism, due to train burnings and accidents, it is clear that for as long as the status quo remains, Metro Rail will continue to lose passengers, especially in peak periods when we are expected to deploy a full fleet. Some of the focus interventions that we have put into place are a rapid rolling stock recovery program. When we go into the APP, we'll go into detail in the Western Cape, 88 train sets that we have set ourselves targets. You will probably have seen that we are in the middle of a 100-day process where we are expected to show some serious changes and progress by the end of December. And one of those is the rollout of more train sets, so that passengers and commuters are able to access the service. In Western Cape, that's 88 train sets, in Gauteng, 123 train sets, in KZN, 57, and in the Eastern Cape, 9 locomotives. Restoring the service across regions to get to the desired service levels, and the same applies to KZN. The next one is an dealing with the inefficient capital program, because you cannot keep on hitting at the surface when the problem actually lies in laying the foundation, and the foundation is the capital program, so that you can do the things that you are supposed to do and fix the system as a whole instead of just doing quick wins that are also not sustainable. There are focused interventions in this regard, which we will go into further detail on as we present the APP. The maintenance regime at BRASA has been an issue, for lack of a better word, and the quality of the maintenance work and planning leads into the deficiencies that we have in the system. There's a fragmented engineering function and inadequate maintenance resources. We will then also detail the interventions that have been put into place in terms of building capacity, rebuilding the engineering function structurally, as well as how it fits into the whole BRASA structure, resourcing the maintenance function in each discipline to ensure sustainability. Key is also people. We can talk about all nice interventions, but for as long as the people, the assets and infrastructure are not protected, we know that it will continue becoming a big problem. So some of the interventions we will talk to in the war room when we go through the presentation is the deployment of security technology to protect our infrastructure and facilities, the fencing projects, security personnel, which I think the honorable members sitting around here know how often the issue of security comes up in reports that you read, even as the public. And we have had serious conversations and decisions in a security strategy that says we should insource our security people so that we are able to train them, we have control, and we are able to put together proper standard operating procedures and training to ensure that they are doing the job that they are supposed to do. Basically, so that it sets a foundation for us growing our own, that live up to our values, that live up to what we stand for, and therefore we can have the comfort that they are doing the work that they are supposed to do. And of course, the use of technology, including drones in hotspot areas. Then safety management, we will talk about significantly as we discuss the war room, which talks to the manual authorizations, which are a huge factor in the causing of accidents. Human error in a system just inevitably means that you will constantly, you don't know how somebody woke up the previous day, what were they doing. You know, you may breathalyze, but there are other factors that feed into a person's state of mind as a train driver is driving, as a TCT is giving instructions at a station. So those are things that say to us that the modernization program needs to be accelerated in a big way to ensure that the safety of our commuters is assured. And fixing the organization. You know, it's not a secret that BRASA is one of the entities that has been broken over a number of years, and the board has been seized with how we deal with those challenges while ensuring that the turnaround is achieved and that you focus on getting the organization out of the history of not performing adequately and not doing the right thing and move it into a mindset that is of service recovery, of safety management, and ensuring that we deliver on our mandate. I have already touched on acceleration of the capital program, which is at the heart of ensuring that BRASA will deliver the work that it is set out to do. So just with those few introductory remarks, I just thought I should give a highlight that says to the committee, these are the areas that we will be getting into, and as we detail the APP, we will also give you a highlight and go in depth into the interventions that have taken place, so that hopefully by the time we get to 12:30, Honourable Chair, you are starting to see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I think we are not blind and have our necks in the sand into that. BRASA is always in the news for the wrong reasons. And we want to leave here having given you the assurance that while we acknowledge the past and the things that have happened in the past, that have brought the entity to the state that it is in, that there are committed people out there in the workforce that are committed to making it work and that are every day taking a bite at the big elephant to ensure that it eventually does provide the services that it is supposed to provide. If you will allow me, Honourable Chair and members, with that, with those few remarks, to hand over to the Group CEO, who will then also bring in our Chief Strategy Officer in taking you through the APP. I thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. What do you?
The Chairperson of the NCOP, Honourable Moema, thank you for the warm welcome. BRASA is an implementing arm of the National Department of Transport, our sole shareholder, and it's primarily focused on the mandate that is contained in the laws that founds us. That's the Legal Succession Act of the South African Transport Services Act of 1989 as amended, and we've got a primary mandate to ensure that we provide rail commuter services within, to and from the Republic of South Africa, and provide, in accordance to the Department of Transport further, the long-haul passenger rail and bus services within the country. Our secondary mandate as BRASA is to generate income from exploitation of assets that are acquired, which include the real estate and the property portfolio. Further, we are responsible and to ensuring that we ensure that due regard for key government socio-economic and transport imperatives and policy objectives. As the entity of government, we recognize the initiatives of government that seeks to ensure that BRASA drive the strategy within a particular policy framework, and we cite those policy and framing documents, including strategies like the public transport strategy and the green paper on rail, which inform our policy positions, our operational plan, and the strategy going forward. And a further requirement is that as PRASA, we carry out the objectives of the business and have due regard for key government, socio-economic and transport imperatives as cited above. There are further legislative provisions that frame the operations of the group, including its subsidiaries, and they include the policies that we have cited, in particular the National Land Transport Act, number 5 of 2009. Our vision is articulated in our corporate plan. Our mission is clear, and there are specific values that flow directly from the Constitution of the Republic, and they include provision of a safe, reliable, and affordable and clean passenger rail and bus services. PRASA has noted that the NDP strategic focus areas and planning priorities, which focuses on the creation of the workable urban transit solution, are important, and we have embedded our strategy on this. And they include, amongst others, the increasing investment in public transport, provision of incentives for public transport, renewal of the commuter train fleet, and property development and corridor densification. Later in the presentation, Chairperson, we will report on some of the, you know, initiatives, such as the yesterday's additional morning fleet of the new trains in one of the corridors in Gauteng as part of our program for rolling out our new trains, as indicated above. PRASA has noted that the APEC strategic priorities of the sixth administration have to be aligned to our priorities as well, and this has been done, and it's reflected in the corporate plan, and it acknowledges the bold and ambitious goals, such as a strong and inclusive economy, capabilities of South Africans, and a capable state. We further align these you know, APEC priorities to the DOT strategic plan that ensures the elimination of delays and cancellations in our commuter rail network, the finalization and revisions of feasible studies in relation to the Mloto rail corridor between Siyabuswa and Mpumalanga and Swane and Gauteng, the high-speed rail between Johannesburg and Durban, and the rebuilding of PRASA's engineering capacity to drive the modernization program and ensure that we create jobs, we support the state in its effort to eradicate poverty and inequalities in our country. The Minister of Transport and the shareholder in the business has established initiatives to ensuring that we accelerate all of these objectives that we have cited. And we could divide this the focal areas into three key areas. One is the service recovery angle to it, ensuring that where the service has declined over the years, as the chair of the board has indicated, we are able to accelerate service recovery. And we are specific about what it is that we are going to be doing in ensuring that this is done. And one of those issues is ensuring that we improve the on-time performance of the Metro Rail area of our business. The Shosholoza Mail on-time arrivals improve, and there are targets that we set for this purpose, ensuring that the Metro Rail train set availability is improved from, you know, what it is, and improving Shosholoza Mail as well in terms of locomotive availability. These are some of the interventions that seek to ensure that service recovery is established. Further, safety is important, and I think over the time, Chair, when we speak about safety at PRASA, it almost seems like as if we are ticking the box about what the safety regulator is saying to us. But we are saying in our corporate plan, safety is our priority, and there are specific areas in terms of our program that we are focusing upon, and these are ensuring that we put in place effective mechanisms to protect infrastructure, to ensure that we protect our assets, and most importantly, to protect our passengers on board our trains. The second area in the service of the safety management area of the minister's priority is to ensure that we achieve the full compliance with the rail safety regulator permit conditions. And I've indicated before that we are focused at doing better than just complying with the minimum requirements. But it's important as a starting point to ensure that we report progress in respect of the compliance with the directives of the RSR chairperson. And lastly, I think in the three key areas that the minister has injected to try and improve the acceleration of our programs is the modernization programs. The chair of the board in his remarks has indicated that we are behind by 3 years in this regard. And because we are indeed. Thank you, Chairperson. The modernization program, Chairperson, is the key. Our chair has indicated that we're behind by 3 years in this program, and all of us know that to be behind in this particular program means an issue around job creation and other opportunities to enhance the services that we provide. And therefore, we urgently would like to ensure that we create capacity within the business to manage capital projects and spend our capital budget, to ensure that the sequencing of critical infrastructure that will enable the deployment of new trains is provided for in targeted corridors, as I've indicated that as lately as yesterday, we have started rolling out in specific corridors our new trains, the people's trains. We will continue with the presentation, Chair. At this point in time, I would like to invite the Chief Strategist to specifically indicate the provisions of the corporate plan as I have framed it above.
Thank you, Group CEO. Just on a lighter note, Chair, in our language, we don't have he or she. It's either ubaba, umama, ubudi, usisi. So that u stands for he and she. That's why we always forget whether we use he or she. anyway, thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. I will now take the members through what informed the corporate plan that we have submitted to the Department and also to Parliament. The Chairperson has already highlighted some of the challenges because, as she said, we are the first to admit that all has not been well at PRASA. And what keeps us awake at night is what you see on the bullet point number 3, the sharp decline on the number of passengers that we are transporting every day. To decline from 634 million passenger trips in 2010 and to what we are now recording in this the end of the 2018 financial year is something that we take note and we take seriously. And it also tells us that we are not providing an exciting value proposition to bring back the passengers back to the only mode of transport that they rely on and that they can afford. And there are a number of factors that we have looked at when we do our research, why we are losing these passengers. And in the main is the safety of our environment, as well as the unreliability of the asset that is supposed to transport the passengers, including the infrastructure that cannot actually predetermine whether people will arrive on time because of the stop and go. So these are all the issues that we are now addressing in the war room that I will take the committee through. But then the corporate plan is really focusing on the five key areas, which is improving the operational safety, as well as ensuring on-time performance by reducing train cancellations and delays. We hope that when we do the interventions that we have started to do, we'll begin to see an improvement in customer confidence, and then bringing back the patronage that we have lost. But there are certain areas that we do that are defined through our secondary mandate, which really make sure that when commuters and other stakeholders come to our rail environment, the stations are of a nature that they give you that dignity, that they are clean, that all the facilities that are at the station are of a status that we expect them to be. That's why we are focusing on making sure that the two divisions that we have, or one division and one subsidiary at PRASA, one being the real estate as well as Intersite, are now focusing on working together in making sure that there are improvements at those stations. And the issue around the capacity of the rail engineering has been one of the areas that as PRASA we've been focusing on, because that is where reliability of the rolling stock as well as infrastructure will see some great improvement. What we then did as a focus for this particular financial year ending end of March 2020 is to lift up the key areas that we think will have the greatest impact at the shortest possible times. And we have given ourselves really ambitious targets to achieve certain objectives within 100 days, and which we will share with you. And we also realize that we will not be able to do that if we don't have a single focal point, which is now what we call the war room, that looks at the three main areas: service recovery, safety management, as well as the acceleration of the capital program, which is led by the board. And that war room has been established, and it was launched on the 8th by the minister, and it started working on the 12th of August. And it is run by a technical task team that is sitting there every day and reaching out to the regions. We have connectivity through video conferencing and also what we call Microsoft Teams or Skype for Business. And on a daily basis, the technical task team is receiving information on the performance of those against the objectives that we have set, and also how we prioritize the necessary intervention so that we can achieve quick wins. And there are daily status meetings in that war room. We also meet on Friday with the steering committee, which is led by the chair. And then on Monday, there is a committee called the ministerial top tier committee, which is led by the DG of Transport. And what is this war room hoping to achieve? It is a vehicle for a turnaround. And we are looking at five areas: service performance of both Metro Rail and MLPS, asset and infrastructure maintenance so that we can improve infrastructure reliability and also shorten the time traveled by our commuters and passengers to their end destination. We have also realized that number three, accelerating corridor fencing and technology deployment is really key to improving our performance within the Metro Rail in the main, because the openness of our network is prone to vandalism, is prone to thuggerism, as well as criminal elements that we have seen, because people can walk through the rail networks, can jump on the train anywhere they want without any hindrance. So we are happy to note that both the board and the Department of Transport and our executive have actually put the corridor fencing as one of the key rollout programs that we must do, and we are also agreeing on the technology or the mechanism that we're going to be using on that corridor fencing. And we are not shy to say that the concrete walls, 4 meter high concrete walls, are the ones that we are going to be putting in our corridors, because we have seen that when you put the palisade fencing, people just come and they just open them and they go through the network. We have even seen when we do the blocks, the bricks, we build the walls with the bricks, they come and chop the bricks away, and then you see the bricks being built, being used to build in the informal settlements around the rail reserves. So now we are going with the concrete slabs to make sure that we protect that. What would happen when we protect that? One, we will be able to maintain the infrastructure inside, because no one can go in any time now and vandalize it. We'll be able to maintain the trains and fix the trains. We'll also be able to collect revenue and curb fare evasion, which is the biggest issue. Safety management is one area that we're busy with RSR, and they've given us We know exactly what we are dealing with, the issues around the permit condition so that you can have a license to operate. We at least now we do have the six months operating license, and our target now is to address all of the issues that RSR has raised with us so that we can get our 3-year permit. And of course, modernization readiness is one exciting area in as far as what PRASA is doing right now. The deployment of these night trains that you see now in Pretoria, as well as the tests that we've been running in Cape Town, is part of the areas of our modernization, including station improvements and so forth. And I won't go much into the structure of the war room. I've already mentioned what informs the war room. But you will see that in the war room there are three main focus areas. Service recovery is on operational planning, service performance, maintenance, network availability and engineering capacity, vandalism, theft and curbing of criminal activities as well as security of commuters. Then we have got the safety management, then we've got the accelerated capital program. And we've also have the definitive terms of reference so that each and every of those structures know exactly what they are supposed to be delivering. And in detail, you'll see that we've also identified work streams that focus on delivering on those three areas. And we've also appointed leaders of those work streams. Now, these are the interventions that are focused interventions that we're looking at for the next 100 days and then up to the end of the year of our financial year 1920. The service recovery is very clear on the actions that we are expecting the teams that are working on that to improve. One is improving on-time performance. Our on-time performance is averaging around 56-57%, and our target is to improve that on-time performance to 85%. That is with regards to Metro Rail. So when we look at that, we are looking at the trains that were scheduled to carry out passengers in the morning and how many of the scheduled trains actually did run and how many of those trains that ran actually ran on time. Our ultimate objective for now is to say we must at least 85% of those trains that are scheduled must also run on time and arrive at the destination as expected. The improvement of on-time arrivals of MLPS is our biggest nightmare. Everyone knows how long it takes to travel from Johannesburg to Cape Town or from Johannesburg to Durban. And we are working on reducing the time travel and the on-time arrivals. Our biggest nightmare, Chair and Honourable Members, is the availability of train sets. Now, when there are complaints about overcrowding, it's because of one of two factors as such. We don't have enough train sets to take passengers from one destination to the end. So, but we still have to run the train sets. So when we run those train sets, we run them at short configuration. Instead of running them at 12, we run them at 8. And people, because they don't know when the next train is going to come, they try and make sure that they jump on the train that they see. But the moment we have enough train sets and we are able to schedule them according to the time that we have and the demand, we will be able to reduce the overcrowding at the train stations. Overcrowding then leads to incidents and accidents. People get injured. And then also it leads to criminal activity. So we are alive to those problems. If we can get to the number of train sets that we are targeting, we will be able to deal with the issues of overcrowding. We are targeting 291 train sets by end of March, but in terms of our 100-day commitment, it was 164 train sets, and that one has been achieved already. We are currently trending around 168 train sets, even though KZN is still below the target that we are hoping to achieve. The issue of locomotives, especially for the Eastern Cape, has been one of the areas that we've been looking at, and that one we are now on target to achieve the 60%, actually it will be the 100% locomotive availability, because our target is to have 8 locomotives for the Eastern Cape. We already have 4 that are in the Eastern Cape, and 4 more will be there by the end of September. And as I said again, the train set configuration from what we currently have to 100% is one of our target. The biggest issue that we have is around the time it takes commuters to reach their destination. The speed restrictions that we see on our rail environment are as a result of a few things. One, signaling that has been vandalized, that is not working, that then requests us to use manual authorization. And then when we are using manual authorization, you are then forced to travel at no more than 30 kilometers an hour. Now we can imagine someone coming from a park station to Vereeniging having to drive 30 kilometers an hour. It's going to take 5 hours to get home. So if we can address the issue of thuggerism that we see in our environment, the continuous theft of cables that then impact on the signaling. The other one is the condition of our payway, which is the railway, actually the rail itself. That is what is impacting on the speed that we should be traveling. So that is the area that we are looking at. And we've spoken about the acceleration of our project. With that, we have, just this week, the War Room has achieved one of our targets, which was to segment the corridors that have to be accelerated across the regions, and also to then prioritize those corridors that have been accelerated, that have been segmented, and sequence them properly. And we have now aligned that together with the corridor fencing as well as the security interventions that we'll be looking at. Safety management is really looking at three areas. One is the safety permit special condition that has been put on us for us to achieve, to get the 3-year license. But that work is on track because we are not behind the deliverables and the targets that RSR has given to us. So when we say that we will have the risk assessment finalized by 31st of October this month, it means that we will have that achieved, and then that becomes a tick from the RSR side. So all of the action areas that are, and the desired outcomes that are identified in our safety management, especially with the special permits, is one thing that we are forever engaging, and the teams meet with RSR almost on a daily basis. The other area is the directives. We have to close all historical and current RSR directives, and there are 44 of those directives, and we are happy to say, Chair, that 19 of those directives have actually been done. We are just waiting for final verification from RSR. And then the issue of occurrences and incidents. The occurrences and incidents are as a result of the condition of our network. So if we reduce the issue of overcrowding and we've got enough train sets running on the rail in our network, we will reduce the number of incidents, people falling in between the platforms or people injuring themselves because of overcrowding. And then the other area was for us to increase the rolling stock at the regions. And the target for the 100 days is to bring back 15 additional train sets. And that one we are on track, as I said, Chair, that we already have 168. We've already exceeded the 164 train sets, which was part of the 100 days commitment. We were at 168 last week, Friday, when we were reporting in the war room. And that work, our focus now is to make sure that we don't have those sets reducing every day. We must maintain an increase. We had an unfortunate incident, occurrence in KZN because of the floods. So most of our rail network was severely affected, especially the South Coast line. And there is work that is being done now, and we are working in partnership with one of our state entities, Transnet, to recover that infrastructure. Our target is that by September, at least, we should have achieved 10% recovery of that infrastructure. One of the exciting areas is the introduction of the morning peak from our new trains, which we call the People's Train. That train is beautiful. That train is gives dignity. When you're sitting on that train, you feel like South Africa finally recognizes that the commuter is actually an important citizen in our value chain. It's got aircon, it's got safety mechanisms, and you can't even open the doors when that train is running. And it's a tube, because you can see from one end to the end. So if it's not crowded, which we hope it shouldn't be, you are able to detect any criminal activity happening on the train. And the introduction of that new service in the Pienaarsport Pretoria in the morning is going to at least give us 20% additional patronage. And as soon as we have secured our corridors and we roll out all these new trains, it's a game changer for South Africa in terms of passenger or commuter travel in the morning. And that is what we are focusing on. As we know, in this region, we did send down two new trains, so that also this area, which has, there's a huge metro rail usage in Cape Town, they can also begin to see that there is something coming their way. And we are bringing the trains. We are just finalizing some of the insurance elements, because we need to make sure that these trains, which are quite expensive, are also insured. I've spoken about the eight new locomotives, and also the issue around Shosholoza and to improve our long-distance passenger experience. We are launching also not the stations, but also the commercial side of these stations in Gauteng, the Salt Reef and Mabopane station. One of our secondary mandate is to make sure that the stations become also areas of destination where people can eat, dine, trade, and work at the same time. They mustn't just be hop in and hop out stations. You can actually say, I'm going to a station because I've got a meeting, and once I'm at the meeting, I'm going to be able to dine at a particular station. So there is a retail environment. If you go to Cape Town, it's a shopping mall. You go to Park Station, it's a shopping mall. You go to Wamnyandu in Durban, it is a shopping mall. Bridge City, this is what we are looking at. So even when we are extending new rail corridors, for instance, in Cape Town, the Blue Downs rail corridors has got three new stations planned, and that station, one of the stations, has to make sure that it is becomes a commercial hub. When we are extending corridors in the Eastern Cape, especially the Motherwell corridor, we will make sure also that there is that commercial element in that. In Gauteng, there is a long corridor which is called Etwata-Daveyton. That new corridor will have seven new stations. We are trying to make sure that people don't travel too long to get to a point where they can access services. So we don't have to travel from Daveyton to go to Johannesburg once we have that that corridor, because there you can access services, government services, you can even shop, you can do everything. The next one is really the security protection. We are very clear about what we are doing under the security and protection of passenger and rail. One is security technology and fencing project. So this week in the war room, we finalized the segmentation of the corridors, as I mentioned, but also what security has done, they've identified within the corridors what needs to be secured, the relay rooms, the high nerves, the high sites, the fence, the nerve centers, the depots, the other station facilities. So that is the work that we're doing. The specialized security vehicles, we need to have rapid response. If a crime is committed 10 kilometers down the rail, we should be able to have rapid response vehicles that can get there within a particular period. And then, of course, the drone operations. What is also exciting for CRASA is that we have now agreed, the board has approved the security strategy, which includes the insourcing of our security. So we are now targeting a 70-30 split, which then talks about our job creation. Because now we are no longer going to 70% of our personnel, security personnel, are going to be employed directly by CRASA, and only 30% will be outsourced. And our ultimate objective is to phase out that insourcing and achieve 100%. I think one last slide on this area, on the war room, is the general overhaul, where we take the trains back and we strip them and we rebuild them from scratch. So we are busy now with appointing the procurement process of appointing the contractors that will be dealing with that matter. We are slightly behind in that, but we will be able to catch up. The other area is the component procurement, which is the parts that the trains need. We have a number. We've got about 552 coaches that are out of service because they either need this component or they need that component. And the work that the war room has done now, we have identified which components belong to which train set, and when are we going to get all those components. And we will be able to start procuring by the 12th of October, issue letters of appointment and purchase orders and procure, and then make sure that we bring back the coaches that we need. The last part is really the infrastructure reliability. That's an ongoing work, making sure that we've got rails, enough rails in the regions that are back on the network, and that we've got also tempers and so forth. So we can say that in the 3 weeks that this war room has been in existence, we can show you, and we can even invite the media to come and see what it has achieved on the ground, contrary to what we see as being the narrative out there. I think that is the part that we wanted to share with the committee and through you, Chair. The other part is really the issue around AutoPEX. Because our mandate is that we have to provide long-haul passenger services, of which one is the buses and the other one is the long-distance trains. But AutoPEX is our baby, and we have to deal with it whilst it is still in existence, and this is what the board is highly looking at. I'm not sure whether I want to talk about the board.
Thanks, Sipo. I think Chair, I'd like just to make a few remarks around AutoPEX, because I think the emphasis of our presentation is largely on rail elements, but I think this is a very important area, because it complements, particularly in the long haul area where MLPS is located. The industry landscape, you know, capital and labor intensive operation, highly competitive environment. Passengers are price sensitive, tax intimidation is prevalent, and we're not singling out this element. The landscape as a whole consists of these variables that make it difficult to trade, but we are working hard to making sure that this part of our service is viable and it fulfills its promise. The challenges that are there in this environment include the decrease in fleet availability, you know, and I think we've reduced our fleet from 500 to 114 currently, and we have to recover this. The interventions include, amongst other things, ensuring that new engines are bought, to ensuring that the fleet currently is able to sustain itself. Ineffective route and fleet optimization, reduction in revenue and passenger numbers also are the problems that we are confronted with in this particular area. But in our corporate plan, we recognize all of this, and we ensure, therefore, going forward, that the company only manages these issues. And for the past 3 years, the operational performance and service delivery has been at an all-time low, and this needs to be, as indicated in our corporate plan, be dealt with. Just to cite a few, for example, we had about 2.2 million passengers, and currently that has been reduced to only 1.6. But in the 2018 and 2019 financial year, the services has reduced from 249 to currently 119, and recently 161. We are dealing with these issues, and as it can be seen, we have demanded that similarly an accelerated program is conceptualized to deal with these matters. The refurbishing and the buying of new buses and the procurement of new engines, as I've indicated, has been an intervention that has assisted us in this regard. The plan has identified seven key focal areas as a game changer for getting the business back on track. And we cite these, and amongst others, it's the whole question of operational excellence and increased reliability, which I think is the main area. High level of customer centricity, the contribution of socio-economic policies of government, asset optimization, amongst others, in the seven areas of focus in turning around the business. And would like to highlight the interventions further than this that we consider to be in the immediate and medium term going to be very important. One of them is the eradication of the Autopex creditors book, reviewing of the Autopex cost structure, effective revenue collection and protection system, the route and asset optimization, and refleeting and refurbishment of the fleet, including the acquisition of engines, improvement of ICT environment, and the repositioning of the brand itself. The expansion program of Brasa also challenges Autopex to expand as to complement the services that we are currently dealing with. The short-term strategy has the following specific focal areas that include dealing with issues around the routes, asset optimization, cost optimization, control optimization, the procurement focus, as well as the customer service. Whereas in the medium and long term, we want to look at the entire organizational structure. And therefore, the turnaround strategy of Autopex is currently focused on ensuring that the divisionalization of this business happens, which will reduce the current costs in the business and ensure that there is an improved governance as well in the organizational structure. Autopex has to provide rail support. In this regard, offer a support service to Metrorail. The streamlining of the operational system will include the review of Autopex operations, which will include buses, routes, people to a more effective and effective operation in this regard. Autopex integration to Brasa Group is very important. So we speak of consolidation and divisionalization of the business. And there are interventions to ensure that the efficiencies that are required to deal with the decline are dealt with. And amongst others is the ticketing platforms, the joint use of sales offices and loading points, shared call centers, shared booking systems, shared ICT infrastructure, and intergroup transactions as part of the quick wins that we have identified to ensuring that there is an acceleration in the recovery of the business. At this point, I would like to invite the acting CEO of Intersight to take us through the section of the presentation that deal with the Intersight.
Thank you, Group CEO. Good morning again. Thank you, Group CEO. Good morning again to members of the committee. I'll just take you, give an overview of Intersight, where it is, and also what its mandate is. The main focus area of Intersight is to execute Prasa's secondary mandate, and it does this by generating income from the exploitation or the sweating of assets acquired by Prasa, which includes the real estate and the property portfolio. A further requirement in this regard is that in carrying out its objective in business, Intersight pays regard to other government key objectives, including your social, economic, and transport imperatives. So Intersight is the main vehicle which drives then the secondary mandate of Prasa through commercialization of assets that are acquired by the group. Okay, I'll just give also a quick overview on those points to say what is the case for Intersight. So as Intersight were created to sweat the assets that are acquired by Prasa. This includes commercialization and property development strategy within the Prasa property portfolio. In this regard, for instance, we're looking at making stations, as the group strategy officer was indicating, destinations of choice in their own regard. For instance, people can go in there to do their shopping, to meet, and also to meet their other requirements. For instance, in some of our stations, we've got government offices, including your SASA, etc., located there. So it creates a convenience factor for the commuter. Instead of traveling long distances, all the facilities can be located within that. So we're also looking at putting your home affairs and other offices which can actually create a convenience for the commuter. The second one is that we also need to support patronage in terms of public transport. And we do this through provision of other services. For instance, in some of our stations, in partnership with third parties, we have actually rolled out Wi-Fi, which is available free of charge to the commuters and any user of the station. Again, that is meant to provide a convenience factor for the commuter so that also it then supports rail, to say people can come to our stations, at least be able to be productive whilst they wait for a train or any connecting bus service. Then thereafter they can then, you know, proceed with their journeys. Okay, so I just want also to indicate the issue of the problem statement with InterSight, you know, to say what have been the limitations that we have experienced in executing that mandate. And the main ones actually relate around the issue of the asset base, to say the assets are owned by PRASA Group, and InterSight is a subsidiary of PRASA. So unless some of those assets either get transferred or leased out to InterSight, it then becomes kind of a limitation in executing that. Secondly, the entity in terms of borrowing powers or ability at least to leverage, you know, has got limitations, doesn't have those powers, you know, so it does create a limitation. And also the issue of investment, you know, to say, for instance, in terms of capital funding from the group, currently InterSight cannot access that, and it does limit our opportunity to also co-invest in opportunities that actually arise. But this issue is being addressed, as the group CEO and also the chair indicated earlier on, through the consolidation of InterSight and PRASA-CREST. So by consolidating those two entities, at least it then allows us to have a much more focused operation, which is streamlined and also able then to, you know, fully leverage the value out of the people and the resources that we have. Okay, as InterSight also, we do talk specifically to government initiative to say we don't exist in isolation, as we indicated earlier on, to say we also respond to social, economic and government imperatives. And actually this then tells you to say of the number of SIPs that government has got, you know, what initiative actually do we have to support that. For instance, on the issue of SIP 6, Integrated Municipal Infrastructure Program, you know, as a response, we do urban network strategies and plans, particularly our corridor densification strategy, where we want to bring human settlements closer to the railway lines is actually our response to that. It then also creates a convenience factor and for the commuter. For instance, if you look at the LSMs that we are transporting, the biggest cost, you know, one of them actually relates to transport. Our people spend a disproportionate amount of their money on transport cost. But by moving them closer to the railway lines, at least we can also help them to reduce actually some of those costs. You know, I won't go word by word, but I also just want to touch on SIP 15, you know, to say expanding access to communication technologies. We also have got initiatives in that regard. For instance, PRASA has got fiber, which it uses for signaling. Excess capacity in that fiber is actually leased out to the market to generate revenues. But also we've got towers on our land, which also can then be utilized again to generate revenues. They are leased out to your mobile operators, which generate revenues, which then actually get brought back into the business. And also out of that, we also have got your issue of Wi-Fi rollout, actually, as I indicated earlier on.
Just to add on that through you, Chair, one thing that we never speak about adequately is that our fiber that is deployed across our network, you can actually deploy it into 5 kilometer radius, which means even the schools that are located within each one of our stations can tap onto that fiber, so that we can address the issue of access or universal access.
Okay, so we just created some pictures just to at least give a sense or a flavor of what has been done to date. In Durban, Gwamnyandu, Umlazi Township, we actually have got a shopping mall which actually sits on top of the station. It's also fully integrated with the station of PRASA. So people actually, you know, as they go to or from work, they can actually then go there, you know, do their shopping or whatever is required, and then go home. You know, again, to say this is part of bringing the dignity of the commuter back. You know, so it's not just Umlazi, also countrywide, we're also looking at opportunities similar to this, where we can, for instance, in partnership with the private sector, join hands to then actually create a viable commercial hubs, you know, for the people to utilize. Okay, this one actually is closer to home here at Langa Station. It's a retail development. Again, it is part of that bringing, you know, services closer to the commuter base. So it's a retail development where actually some of the major shops actually are there for the actual use of our commuter base. Okay, this one is current. It has already been launched and it's already started. This is a light industrial park at Umgeni in Durban, in partnership also with the private sector, whereby we have got a strip of land where then the private sector comes in to invest. And as InterSite on behalf of PRASA, we then get, we negotiate to have participation rights in those developments. Again, to say whatever profits are generated, they actually get plowed back into the group. Okay, the issue of fiber, we did actually touch a little bit on the fiber issue. So maybe just to go back, Sipo. Okay, so basically we did touch on the fiber. So fiber, we just actually separate into two. There's dark fiber, which actually is not in a state to transmit information, and also there's lit fiber, which is now lit up and in a state to transmit information, you know, so hence actually it's dark on the other side and the lit one on one. Okay. So on the back of the fiber, you know, we're also able to do a whole lot of other things. For instance, the issue of Wi-Fi that we've actually spoken to say we truly provide Wi-Fi to our commuters, that Wi-Fi is provided free of charge to the commuters, and to the shop owners, they've got them to pay, you know, towards that cost. And the free public Wi-Fi, as we indicated, is that provided on the back of the PRASA fiber network. You know, so again, to say there is an asset, it's not fully utilized, you know, to say then at least out of that, we can then be able to add some benefits for our commuters. And also the benefits for our students or scholars who actually traverse to our stations, to say at least you can go there, be able to download, to do whatever is required. But even for job applicants, you know, to say it's a convenient fact to say you can actually go there, utilize the network, you know, to then actually maybe put applications or whatever is required. Okay.
I think at this stage, we would like to go back to what the chair in her opening remarks indicated around the current you know, state of performance regarding the predetermined objectives, and Anna Marie will just briefly give us a sense of that.
It will be important that Anna Marie could just speak to this 14 predetermined objectives so that we can have ample opportunity for members also interact with the presentation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I see we score up us if we can at least push by 1:30.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, members. First of all, on our performance plan for this financial year, we have indicated how we link to the six administrations APEX priorities, and I'm not going to go in detail through that, but in the main we look at priority four, where there's a program on public transport that really asks us to do what we've included in the war room. Okay. There is just a detail where you can see which objectives we've used, and we've looked there at every indicator and said where it is linking and what it is addressing. Okay, the next one, please. And there's also there is a number of supporting objectives. Especially if you look at procuring for the business, where we look at how we spend money on the designated groups, such as black women-owned companies, black suppliers, EMEs, etc. Thank you. What we also have done is we've linked our indicators and targets with the Minister of Transport's priorities, and these are in the main also covered by the war room. And that is what will really drive Metro Rail, Shoshaloza Mail performance, and Autopack's performance as well. Thank you. Then we have objective one. This is strengthening governance and stabilizing the organization. In the main, this deals with our reputation in terms of our governance and how do we improve that. I want to focus more on the operational ones. This is our revenue, operational expenditure, our finance information, and this is really to a large extent determined by how we perform in operations, especially our fair revenue, the operating expenditure, cost coverage. Those are really driven to a large extent by our revenue and what we can earn from that. Objective three, the main one there, that as you've seen, that impacts our safety performance. And it's also one of the key issues that your customers want is the rail safety regulations, permit conditions and directives that we need to 100% comply with those. And it is affecting all our metro rail regions, that is Gauteng, KZN, Western Cape and Eastern Cape, covering East London and Port Elizabeth municipalities. Then you have Metro Rail, where we cover the regions of, as I said, the Western Cape up to the Eastern Cape, and it reflects the progress that we want to make following the war room progress. Mainline passenger services, it covers all mainline passenger services routes. We here need to increase the number of trains run. It's really reduced at the moment due to the unavailability of locomotives, suitable locomotives, and that really determines your number of passengers that you'll be able to transport and also determine what you'll be earning from the fare revenue side. Also here we need to look at the safety. Here we're measuring the safety occurrences that will be things like signals past the danger as well, and other major incidents. And then we also have AutoPax in here, and it covers all of the AutoPax routes via the Translux service as well as city to city. And here is also to do with bus trips. How do we increase the bus trips? And the group CEO has talked a lot about the interventions that we're going to make in AutoPax that will assist us in achieving these objectives. Then a major driver for what you've seen in the performance of Metro Rail especially is how we ensure reliability and availability of the services and the infrastructure. And if focus on our rolling stock, or otherwise known as your trains, the infrastructure reliability and some modernization items. We have covered already the number of train sets availability, the general overhauls, and also the train set availability or the coach availability will help us to configure our trains to 100%, meaning that there will be enough coaches on each train. Then we have the CRES or the corporate real estate that where we look at capital projects that will drive the station environment, assist in addressing safety issues on the stations, as well as upgrades for commercialization. And I have listed on the site for you how many stations and how many projects is being executed in each of our Metro Rail provinces. Then you would have improving the passenger rail travel experience through modernization. Here we've listed our train sets, our new train sets that we expect every year, the commissioning of station signalling, interlockings and stations, the Purway program for modernization, and the station, especially the Purway and signalling, is key supporting projects for the new rail system rollout. And then we also have station modernization projects. There's a lot more of those stations in planning phase, but these are the two ones that is close to completion or where the tender is supposed to go out now. People, assets and infrastructure, Dr. Sipo has highlighted this as well, where we're going to insource the provision of armored vehicles and rapid response vehicles, drone technology, that's the technology we're going to use, and also integrated control rooms to help us to respond faster. On the technical side, we're also looking at what the group CEO has highlighted, and also our chairperson, the maintenance execution, how we deal with inventory management and maintenance engineering and quality standards. That will assist us in improving or maintaining our assets and our rolling stock to the right standards to prevent us from landing our current situation. Then we have the exploiting of the assets through property development and commercialization. Acting CEO of Intersight has focused a lot here, and those are specific targets for this year in terms of real estate developments, the revenue that we expect to earn from this, and also the fiber optic that he's discussed. Procuring for the business, these are the targets that we've set for the procuring side. And on the right-hand side, you will see where we have targeted what we're going to spend for your procurement on designated groups. And then there's certain projects that we need to do in SCM to improve the SCM environment and speed up our procurement. Effective management of the capital program. Except for the programs that's currently in execution, this is where we also need to know how do we improve our supporting side for the capital acceleration. On the side, what I've listed that is in our corporate plan, what is the major projects that we have on our capital program? And I've also said where this is having an impact. Then we have build to last. This is what we need to do in our people environment, is how do we change the operating model to be more efficient, the real estate entity that we've spoken about, also a better streamlined engineering function, as you can see, focusing on learning and development, and this is especially important with the rollout of the modernization and some of the other programs. Building customer and stakeholder confidence, this is really in Dr. Sipa's area, but it's really how do we engage with our customers, how do we inform them, managing our reputation. And the last one is our focus on future expansions. We've just listed three there, but there's a number of them that's still in the planning phase as well, but these is maybe more advanced than the others. We're addressing the Motherwell, Blue Downs Rail Link that we've spoken about, and the Davidson into Ottawa Corridor as well. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. We will now hand over to our Chair to round off for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. The Acting CEO has done it. We have come to the end of our presentation. And at this stage, we are ready to receive questions from yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson.